open up the March 13th, 2023 regular school board meeting at the Hamilton Township Boardroom at 6 p.m. Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Here.
Mr. Dahmer?
Here.
Mr. Schutte?
Here.
Mrs. Clark?
Here.
Mr. Ober?
Here. Can we all please stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Need a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Ober?
Yes. We have some recognition tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
And before I turn it over to
Absolutely.
You, one thing I'd like to ask everybody, if you'd like to stick around after you get recognized, just for the school board members' reports, which is the very next thing to do. You probably see how we do things around here just a little bit, okay? All right, Mark.
All right. Yeah, thank you, President Obert. We do have two recognitions tonight, our first of which involves winter athletics. So I'll introduce Matt Thompson, our athletic director.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I want to thank you very much for allowing us to come in tonight and recognizing our athletic and academic performances by our athletes. I'm very excited and very pleased to say that we've had a very successful winter season. Mm-hmm. I think we're moving in the right track. We've still got some work to do, but I think we're moving in the right direction. And I'd like to continue to see some improvement, but we've got a lot of accolades this winter, and very proud and, to promote our sports programs. I'm going to let the coaches kind of explain what they have done this year, talk about their programs and their athletes. But does anybody want to go first? I didn't ask anybody.
I'll get it over.
All right, Coach Luke, girls basketball.
So for those of you that don't know, like Mr. Thompson said, Coach Wooten is, Jimmy is my first name. But this was my first year coaching at the girls varsity level. Coming into the program, I wanted to focus on attitude and effort, our mindset. Our motto this year was nothing given, all earned. So when I say nothing given and a break, the girls would follow back with all earned. And we did that this year because we wanted to make sure that everything that we did, we were earning it. And the girls really bought in, which was great. We focused on skill, conditioning, and learning how to compete. Our overall record this year, we finished 10-14. We finished 90th overall in Division II out of 188 teams. Compared to last year, the improvement there, we were 163rd. So quite a big improvement there over last year. In Columbus, in Columbus, we finished 76th out of 171 teams. And last year we were 149th. And our strength of schedule last year, compared to this year, we were at a 1.9 overall strength of schedule, and this year we were at a 7.0, which was one of the tops in the state. For those of you that don't follow girls basketball, the Mid-State League is a tough division to play in, very tough league. Some of our highlights this year was really how we ended the season. Toward the end of the year, every single girl was bought in. They were playing their role well, doing their jobs on the teams. And we finished the last three games. We played Circleville, which was 19-4 overall. We had them within 3 points with 50-some seconds to go, and we had two opportunities to knock down a three to tie it and just missed a couple shots, but we were competing. We ended up winning our second round tournament game, which the first round we had a bye, so it was a sectional championship game. We beat Eastmore at Eastmore 51-36. Great job, girls. That was a huge step for our program to be able to come up with a tournament victory. And then in the district semifinal, we were up at the half 21-13 on the number 2 seed North Union, and quite frankly, we just ran out of gas. It was a very tough game. They were a very good team. They were 22-2 overall in the season, and I mean, we were right there with them. So it showed throughout the year how we progressed as a team, and we were really playing some good basketball toward the end of the year. Honors for this year, I want to recognize these girls here, and a couple that aren't here. For the all-academic team, Kai Kai Dean, you can come on up. Kai Kai had a great year this year. Jersey Baker was all academic, Miss State League as well. She is not here. Lainey Hunt, all academic, Miss State League. Zion Payne, she was second team all Mid State League as well as all academic Miss State League. Alexis Wooten, she was all-academic Mid-State League and honorable mention all-Mid-State League. Thank you guys.
So if we got basketball, we might as well stick with the boys' side.
Yep.
Coach Matthews, boys' basketball coach, first year as well.
I'll start by thanking Mr. Thompson as well for believing in me and choosing me to be the boys' basketball coach here. It's been a privilege. I've learned a lot. I inherited a program that through the school and through the kids, I really felt like it was an unpopular decision to play basketball. It just had that negative connotation to it. And what we were able to do this year is have 16 program wins. We had 10 at the JV level and 6 at the varsity level. And I think we created a fun atmosphere that was also competitive. And everything we did in practice was we competed. And it kind of paid off. Some highlights were beating Bloom Carroll on senior night. That was pretty big. It was the first time we've beaten Bloom in 5 or 6 years, I believe. And then beating Circleville on their senior night on the road. So we really improved. We started to play together as a team. And it was really, really, I'm really, really excited for the future of Hamilton Township boys basketball. So a couple honors here. These guys weren't able to make it. Javon McBride, he was a freshman, first team All-MSL, academic All-MSL, and third team All-District 10 player. He just had a heart procedure done, which is why he couldn't make it today. He showed up to school and he wasn't looking the best, but he averaged 19.5 points a game, 3.8 rebounds, 4.5 assists and 1.5 steals a game. He shot 70% from the free throw line. He was 118 for 170 and scored 440 points total. So the goal is, a great goal as a high school basketball player is to be able to score 1,000. He's well on track, and I'm working on finding the all-time leading scorer here because I think he is on pace to possibly break that. He has a chance to leave a really, really big legacy here at Hamilton Township. He's a really hard worker. He's only going to get better. Javon McBride. Next, we have junior Josh Woods. Honorable mention, All-NBL. He was a knockdown shooter for us. He averaged 10.2 points per game, 5 rebounds, and an assist. He shot 36% from three. He averaged 2 threes a game. So, as a three-sport athlete, being able to come in and shoot that well from three, it's pretty impressive. He was also invited to attend the MSL Leadership Conference on April 13th. So he's a natural born leader. So Josh Woods. lastly, Trent Renz, senior. He was academic All-MSL as a senior, you know, which means he carried a cumulative 3.5 grade point average for all 4 years. So that's really, really impressive. He averaged 8 points and 5.5 rebounds and led our team with 46% field goal percentage. Super proud of him sticking through it and being a leader, and his passion for the game really was affectionate. So, Trent Renz. Thank you.
All right, just due to proximity, I'm going to go ahead and call Michelle Kristler up for cheerleading.
So our season this year is—it's always very long with competition. I didn't even introduce myself. I'm sorry. I'm Michelle. I'm the head cheerleading coach. Caitlin, my assistant. We basically are tag teaming it together, like it's both our programs. But overall, competition—it's a 9-month-long season, so these athletes are together a lot, all the time. It takes a lot of work. Just to get two routines and put it out as often as we did. This season, we went through 4 different competitions, took home a few first, second, third places. Our most recent was states. We went 3rd in the state for our traditional routine and 4th in the state for game day. So it's been getting better every year, which is really awesome. And I know it's nice, this year was the first time that we actually had students recognized for the MSL, like the first team, second team. So that's been really awesome for the program itself, just because cheerleading is very subjective and kind of biased. We don't get points. We get points, but not per athlete. So to bring 22 students together and put it out there on the floor, it's really nice to have that opportunity. But we did have a few first team MSL, so if you guys just want to stand up. I don't think Kayla Gross is here. Olivia Taylor, she's in the play. And Amari Somerville, so I don't believe they were able to be here, but we do have our second team MSL, which was Lily Mills. And then we also had some academic MSL honors, so we have Riley DeLong, Alexia Conrad, and our one and only senior, Shawnell Ward. And honestly, some of the athletes you see here and some that weren't here, they're pretty much the backbone of this team. So I know we appreciate you guys. And our theme going into next season is unfinished business, because we do have plans to take the team to nationals. So hopefully we can keep this upward momentum going.
All right, next I'll bring up Aaron O'Reilly, our boys and girls.
We did do some good things this year wrestling-wise. We did the duel during the school this year, which was phenomenal. We actually won the duel. I was able to get a competitive team that kind of matched our level and tried to get the whole student body in, and we competed in front of them. Lights were out, had the glow sticks glowing, so it was really good. We won 58-28, so that was exciting for, I think, faculty, staff, the students, and the wrestlers themselves. I think they are nervous and anxious and at the same time, they competed well. So, but just to recognize some of our Mid-State League, our boys, there's no Mid-State League for the girls yet. Hopefully, we're waiting on more teams in the Mid-State League to compete, get more girls out. But our boys, we had a runner up, Bobby Nolan, junior. We had 2 honorable mentions, which is 3rd for the wrestling, Carter Farrell. MSL academic, all MSL academic. That's 2 years in a row for him, so that's pretty cool. I think that's the first that I know of, at least under my tenure, so that's even better. So these are our guys, Miss A. Lee. Stay up here, guys. I do want to keep, I want to bring up Jaden Frazier. I saw he's here. He got academic, all MSL for wrestling as well, first year wrestler. Jesse Farrell got academic, all MSL too. And I don't think I saw anybody else there. But just with the wrestlers that aren't here, James Rogers, Tyler Stevening, and Hannah Salen, she got academic, all MSL too. And our guys, I did have two guys make it to the district tournament. Bobby and Jesse Farrell, both are underclassmen. Bobby was one match away from making it to the state meet, and Jesse was one match away from making it to the top six to get an opportunity for that. So it's encouraging, exciting. They competed hard. We went down to Wilmington, and Bobby went 3-3, and then Jesse went 2-2. So they got some ups and downs, each won a match or a couple matches, and hopefully they're excited and are able to motivate the other guys for next year. So these are our guys. And then for our girls team's done really well. I'm trying to really build that team. Hopefully they match the same numbers with the guys. We had, at one point we had 11 this year. I think we finished with 7 or 8. And then Sienna Sanborn, she's like our stud of the team. So come on up, Sienna. Sienna has tons of accolades. There's not enough time to truly go through them. But she ended the year as a regional champ. It was the first ever in school history, so that's awesome. Last year she was runner up, and then this year she just placed fifth place in the state at 125 yesterday for the first ever time the girls were at the Schottenstein Center competing with the boys. So that was thrilling and exciting. Hopefully she had a great time being on the floor. So there's no other feeling like it. I remember when I was there wrestling on the floor, and I told her she would remember that for the rest of her life. So stand somewhere after this. Tap of our girls' success at the regional tournament. We took 7. I think we had six out of 7 girls all at least won one match, and we finished 5th out of 64 teams, which is incredible because the teams that finished ahead of us, they are much bigger for Division I schools and have a ton more girls to pull from, and we were right there with them for a little bit. At one point, we were sitting in 2nd after like round 2 or something, so that's really cool. So, but our wrestling team, hopefully, I think it's on the up and up, and hopefully we can get support from you guys. I know we will, and we'll try to give you guys the energy and the excitement right on the mat to entertain you guys. So,
All right, now I'd like to bring up Coach Short. He is our Girl Miss State League Coach of the Year and our Girl Miss State League Champion. Boys and girls bowling coach. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Coach Art. This is my wonderful new assistant, Coach Emma, who also went to school here and has graduated 2 years ago and was one of the top bowlers in the state ranks. This year, we had a field of 28 bowlers. We had a full boys team, a full girls varsity team, we had a full JV boys team and a full JV girls team, which in a bowling alley takes up about half a bowling alley. So if anybody's ever been bowling and seen how it is, bowling is a sport all unto itself of very try-hard, very, very dedicated people. It's just not a game where people throw the ball down the lane. It's a lot of money and a lot of time is spent in a bowling alley. All over. We travel all over the place, and we kept our kids. I always tell them, the motto from coaches is, don't look behind you because you might trip over what's in front of you. So never worry about what you just did. Worry about the ball you want to throw. That's what makes the difference. This is the fourth year we've had the program. I've been with it 4 years. Out of the 4 years, we won the MSL three times, the girls have. And with that, I'm going to bring up the captain, who's going to carry up the trophy. She's a senior. Her name is Emily Welch. And I'm going to bring up Brooke LaRader. I do not have any of my other team here because it's hard to get kids to come back to school after they've left school. So Emily was ranked, is still ranked, sixth out of over 350 bowlers in the central state of Ohio. And will be going and representing the school in an all-star tournament in Cincinnati in the very short future. And is a senior, and this is her third MSL win, and she's going out with a good one. This is Mrs. Brooklyn. She was her first year. She made second in MSL, which was very, very, very good for us to do. And always had the upbeat attitude with what the kids do. Kids always have to take it where you go. And we have like the ESPN Ocho Sport, which is like really, really different from like all the other ones, because it's like not a, a lot of people realize you guys got a bowling team. Yeah, about 4 years, man. You know, we're, we went from being just like a small little bowling team. Now when we walk into any competition arena, they know who we are. Hamilton is on the board when it comes to bowling people. I'm all over the city. They know who we are. The boys, who are sometimes a headache, they made districts for the first time ever. They went through the sectionals, made districts as a team. They worked as a team. They got there and kind of stumbled, but they did take 10th in the districts out of the COH, Central Ohio Bowling, which is very, very good. And four of them's graduating, and they're going on to life, but they're all going to take this with us. And with the girls here, I told them, I said, you know, trophies are nice, but a banner in the gym is immortal. So you'll have your kids when you're out there, and you're going, you can say, hey, you're going to see that? Bowling, that was me. You know, I had something to do with that. And with that, I'm going to let my little assistant coach here say something, because this is her first year, and I'm going to have to tell you, without this young lady's help, her technique and the way that she teaches and the way that she coaches, is, she's going to carry this program on for quite a long time.
I'm Emma. I was a graduate in 21. I was here when the program first started. We kind of, my family kind of helped bring it alive. And just seeing back, coming back to it, it really, like, makes my heart happy, because bowling, I grew up bowling all my life. And you always hear, bowling? What's that? And so getting the sport out and seeing that it's continuing to grow, and like I've continued to enter college, I go to the Ohio State University and I bowl club there. So just coming back, giving back to the program that my family helped start was a greater feeling than anything. And being these girls are the first people I've ever coached in my life, it really has touched me in a way I could never explain.
Well, I can certainly attest to how crazy bowling is. I got to experience my first district tournament down at HP Lanes, and Mr. Tyler was there as well. It was wall-to-wall people. You can barely even move. I can't imagine what the state tournament was at Boone Webb. I'm sure it was pretty crowded as well. But we got one more sport to talk about. Coach Shaw is our girls, our boys swimming coach. She's not here tonight. We do have one swimmer. That would be her son, Kieran, who did receive honorable mention for two different events, the 100 free and the 200 free, and he was also an all the academic performer as well. So very good for them. So, but again, I would like to thank you for recognizing all our student athletes here tonight. And if we get one more picture, I think all of our athletes that are here tonight, please come up here and stand in front of the stage and get a picture.
That's why it's elevated.
Some of these kids still.
Sit, hey, you got my camera, boys.
I'm so used to share my email.
like to open up for comments from the board. Dave?
Oh, yeah. I did get to go see the cheerleading at the States. Mm-hmm. That is high energy, loud, and can you imagine there was like 500 girls and boys doing, they were dancing to the music. They weren't just cheering. They all got together in this big mosh pit and were just jumping and doing line dances. And I mean, 500 of them all doing the same line dance. It was really incredible to watch how they really got into what they were doing. And the performances were very good, very good. I was really impressed, and the future looks real bright for the cheerleading team. And I haven't been able to see much else, but that's what I've seen, and I'm very proud of the girls and the boys.
Mrs. Clark?
First of all, thank you to all of you that were able to make it out tonight and, you know, come celebrate everyone's accomplishments. It's always so exciting to just hear the list of all of our program accomplishments and then the individual students and the academic honors on top of all of that. It always makes me so proud to hear everything that we've gotten through this year. So thank you for sharing it, and thank you for coming out and celebrating with us.
Jimmy?
Just to piggyback on those, you know, great job by all the coaches. First-year coaches, I know, taking over a program, you know, that's a big step. Hopefully you guys can continue that momentum and just build off everything that you guys were able to do this year. I don't know who is broadcasting them on YouTube, but thank you. We're not able to actually come and watch it in the actual arena, but, you know, we are able to tune in. I was able to tune into multiple sports that way. I just want to 18 academic mid-state leagues. That is a huge step. And, you know, not only is that from the coaches, but that's also from the parents. And I want to thank the parents for standing behind each and every one of our athletes and everything that they do there.
Miss Isaac.
So first, congratulations to all of you. And again, keeping up with not only a sport, but your academics speaks volumes of the dedication that you guys have. Girls basketball, I've been watching some of you girls since you've been in elementary school. So to say I will be sad to see some of you go, it's truly breaks my heart. But I've never seen somebody draw a foul like you, Zion, in my entire life. You're phenomenal. Lainey, the way you get across the field, or a court, is impeccable. Alexis, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in the next few years, whether it be volleyball or basketball. I don't know how many other sports you got up your alley, but you're great. Kai Kai, this is the first year that you played here, and I can't wait to see what you bring to the team the next few years. Cheerleading, I don't think I've seen a bigger cheerleading squad in 20 years. You all are great. You guys blow us away every single time. Wrestling, you guys are awesome. I really can't wait to see what the girls' wrestling team brings to Hamilton. I know that is a sport that is up and coming. Even the Little Rangers, I hope that takes off and we can draw more and more of those players. Bowling, same. I agree. I haven't seen the bowling team do this well in a really long time. So thank you to all you guys and the parents for everything that you contribute to the school.
Okay. I like to just agree with everything that's been said. When it comes to the athlete themselves, the parents and their support and the coaching, for the first time since I've been on the board, I feel that we're going in the right direction. People are starting to take it really serious. This community, we generate champions, and it looks like we're going to be going that way. That's who we are. That's what we are. Thanks, Mr. Thompson, doing a fine job. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, on with our second presentation of this evening. We have our Public Relations Director, Mrs. Caitlin Duncan.
So I am up here on behalf of Coach Begro, our indoor and outdoor track coach, so remind him once he gets back from track nationals that he owes me a favor. So actually, that's very exciting. He's at the New Balance Indoor Track Nationals with Nadir Langston. Mm-hmm. He ran over the weekend, and track is growing, and it's a very exciting program. I get to hear about it all the time in the office from Begro. So there is a new scholarship program called Team Triumph, and it is by Fleet Feet in Saucony. Did I say that right?
Saucony.
Saucony, okay. I don't run, so I don't know these brands. But they came and brought in, what we thought they were bringing in was 105 pairs of shoes for our entire track team. What they showed up with was 105 pairs of shoes, running pants for everybody, windbreakers for everybody, and also snacks for the entire team. So, I mean, these kids got a lot of brand new gear all for free, which is unheard of in our district, and it is very exciting. So Fleet Feet actually did a video that I would like to share with you guys. They got to hang out at practice with the kids in their new gear.
Hey, that's a little better.
Was the first out of four schools in Central Ohio that was able to get shoes. So out of the four schools, we're really excited that we were chosen to be one of them. Usually the bigger schools get these kind of deals, and Hamilton's getting recognized.
I'd like to speak on that just really briefly. I had an opportunity to be there at the shoe pass out, and again, you know, it was something that you know, Coach Begro applied for, and we were selected, and really thrilled to have that opportunity for our kids. I know now, as a parent of athletes, how expensive that gear can get. I think what I was blown away with was, first of all, it wasn't just, you know, hey, here's a box of shoes. They took kids through a professional fitting, which these days is foreign to kids. You know, people buy shoes on Amazon. Like, you know, growing up, it's one of those things. When was the last time you guys saw like one of the foot measures, right? So they brought that out. They had the kids go walk back and forth, so they were able to fit shoes to kind of their stride patterns and such. It was really a professional atmosphere. I had an opportunity to thank everybody, but we kind of did a rough, dirty calculation of about $30,000 that retail price was passed out on that day. I've been doing this for a long time. I've never seen anything like that before. Board members, you remember this is a text I sent you about 3 weeks ago or so. But really, really incredible opportunity and just generosity by the company. So we're so grateful for that. And I wanted to make sure that we recognize that tonight. And before we wrap up our presentations, I also just wanted to thank all of the parents and athletes for coming out this evening. I don't know anymore how much, you know, especially some of our athletes, you know, really know my background. You met me when I was your principal at elementary school. Like, I have a background in athletics. That was honestly probably what got me into the field of education in the first place, as a high school athlete and a college athlete. And I came here as a coach, teacher and a coach. I was taught here in this building, actually, back when this used to be the middle school. But you know, coached here for 7 years, some of the best times of my life, and I really have a great appreciation for the work ethic, the time commitment that goes into it, and just very, very proud. I agree with especially what Mr. Obert said here at the end, like, you know, the big step forward that we took this year. Basketball, you know, having two brand new first year coaches is a little bit of, you know, I mean, there's some excitement with that. It's, you know, it's bringing you know, some youthful energy to it, kind of thing. But also, from my perspective, it's like, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope I get a couple good ones. And feel pretty good about those choices. So that went very well. Wrestling, as we highlighted here, wrestling took, I think, a big step forward. I want to give a shout out to my girl Sienna. My little girl and I came Saturday to see you, but you were like clear on the other end. We were yelling for you, but never got an opportunity to see you in person to say congrats. So congrats to you. And wanted to point out, you know, I mentioned this at our last board meeting, but it kind of applies to cheerleading and I think to bowling. Two sports that I didn't have a ton of familiarity with were those, and have really gotten an education primarily through my daughter with cheering. But like Dave said, you know, going to that state competition, it's, you know, I think sometimes these things are unfairly criticized as like it's a participation trophy. It is far from it. I mean, this is a legitimate competition. It's not just like, you know, hey, we were, you know, third in the state. Like, it was a legitimate third place in the state of Ohio. It was really impressive to see everything cheerleading did. Bowling's the one that blows me away because, I will confess to believing that it was largely just rolling a ball down the lane and hoping you hit pins, not really understanding, just kind of, for lack of a better explanation, kind of the X's and O's that go into bowling. The difference in how they oil the lanes, and that equals you now bowling on a different line than what you were just maybe a few frames ago, and switching your balls like mid-frame, and it's really impressive to see kind of the thought that goes into it. It's not luck, like when they bowl the ball, like when I bowl, it's luck. If I hit a pin, I'm happy. Like this is, it's really high level skill stuff. So no, just really impressed by everything we did this year, guys. I, like our board members had mentioned as well, the academic all leagues, obviously. I think you know that that means a lot to me as well. So just proud of our kids, proud of our coaches, families. As a dad going through this myself, I appreciate the time, the effort, the living in bleachers, the sore backs, those kind of things. So thank all of you for being here this evening. And as it's been said up here a few times, I'm really excited about the future here. So congrats, everybody. Thank you all so much.
Public participation.
We have one, Mrs. Weiland. Just please state your name, your address, and then
okay.
You have 3 minutes.
Okay.
Start the clock. Would you state your name and address?
All right,
time.
Stephanie Weiland.
He's over there. Right.
All right.
It's okay. Good.
Stephanie Weiland, 815 Belford Avenue. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the start of the fourth 9 weeks and what has probably been the most normal school year pre-COVID. With that being said, congratulations to all of our athletes that are leaving. But I would like to bring up something that I'm kind of missing as a parent since pre-COVID, and that's like positive awards assemblies. I have 4 kids that will go through this district, one that's graduated, and 3 other kiddos that probably will not be athletes. That's just not in their nature. But they work very, very hard in the classroom. So I would just like to, as a parent, see some of that more positive assembly stuff come back for our kids. I tell my kids all the time they're doing a great job. I'm mom, I'm supposed to say that. They don't take it to heart when it's coming from me as they do their peers, their teachers. So that is just something I wanted to see, like with everything kind of being back to normal, sports are good, if we could start doing some more of that again, and recognizing our kiddos, you know, that are working hard in the classroom, and maybe it will help the kids that are struggling a little bit to want to be up there with their friends. So that was just what I wanted to speak on tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Board report, Dave.
Well, I kind of already said for the volleyball team and people, but I probably shouldn't say this, but I agree with what she just said. I've noticed that there is no assemblies, there is no, per se, pep rallies, and of course, I'm the old guy, that that's all we did. You know, that was our big deal all the time. And you're right, we are hopefully back to normal. And I think sometimes we just lose track because we've had such a hard time with all this. And our legislators and everybody keep giving us all these rules and all this stuff. I think sometimes we lose track that they are kids and they need to have some enjoyment and fun in school. So that's basically all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Clark?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Owen. Do you want me to do my legislative report now as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. For my legislative report, I just want to make sure that we're all aware that Senate Bill 1 passed the Senate, and there's hearings happening on the companion bill for House Bill 12. This is what we talked about at the very end of the year. They tried to cram this through, and it almost happened, but then the brakes got put on it, and now I said it would be back. It's definitely back, and it's definitely moving quickly. It would change a lot of things. It would make all decisions that are currently kind of forced to be done in a somewhat bipartisan way, because our current Board of Education is half appointed and then half elected, so you have some variety at least within those elected members that are then tied to their constituents and accountable to their constituents and their decision making, and not accountable to a political figure as in the governor. So it's really has wide, you know, implications from everything from licensing to standards and what is taught and how things are taught, and the possibility for those things to change even more rapidly than they already do, which creates, you know, a lot of stress for everyone, students and teachers and school boards. So I just wanted to make you aware of that and encourage you to share your thoughts with our legislators on that. Additionally, it's a budget year, so there's been the conversations are beginning on that. I'm hoping, you know, Mr. Collier, I know, is very aware of how that will, as that information comes out, he knows how it will affect us and shares that information with us. But it's in the kind of beginning stages. And so the last thing with that is that there are several bills related to voucher programs and expansion of vouchers. And that would also have a big impact on our budget and what we're able to provide to our students if we have the unpredictable situation of students, anybody. Right now, it's at least somewhat limited, but it could be potentially anyone being able to just take, you know, a set amount of money and pull it from the school at any time and be able to up and go to any charter, private, homeschool, you know, and bounce that money around. And that could, again, have really wide-reaching implications. The last thing I just wanted to mention, I don't know how many people are aware of this, but another bill that came up last year and then just recently came back up again is Senate Bill 30. And this is one that I'm hoping gets some movement personally. I know I think a lot of young students and parents feel the same way. 14 and 15 year olds currently can't work past, I think it's like 7 in Ohio, and they're looking to move that to 9 p.m. with the parents' consent. So it would be up to each individual family to at least be able to allow 14 and 15 year olds that want to have a job to be able to work until 9 p.m. I think there are a lot of 14 and 15 year olds that want to be able to work now, and considering it's a pathway to graduation to get that work readiness seal, it really kind of becomes a part of their high school education. And so if we can give them opportunities earlier, because I think the biggest thing, I mean, my daughter had a job literally, she had it lined up when she was 13, started right after she turned 14, she's been ready to work. But she runs into the issue of not being able to work later, and that, you know, makes it harder for employers to try to hire young people. So if we can, you know, give families that responsibility to decide how late their child should work, at least up until 9, I think that would be a move in the right direction for our students as well. Other than that, I just wanted on my personal report kind of side of things to just, as we are ending this third quarter, I appreciate your point that you shared tonight. Thank you. I think we'll all kind of consider that and take that into consideration moving forward. And I hope that we also can, you know, maybe go back to the pre-COVID conversations that we kind of started having about testing and how much testing we are requiring from our students and how often we are requiring tests. Because we started kind of some dialogue on that, and there was some movement at the state level to kind of scale it back a little bit, which I think has definitely improved our situation. But I know our students, I mean, having three kids who take CBAs at the end of every quarter, it is like stress city in the house the whole week leading up to it. And it's just, it's unfortunate that we lose, I feel that we lose instructional time to trying to like prepare for that week, and then we have this crazy schedule that puts everybody out of whack, and they're stressed leading up to it, and then so much hinges on it with their grades, and some kids just aren't good at testing, and I don't know. I'm rambling now, but anyways, if we could just look back at those conversations and kind of maybe just rethink how that looks moving forward, I personally would appreciate it. And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you. Mr. Dahmer?
Again, congratulations to everybody on getting through three quarters. I know we're not done. We still got, you know, one more quarter to continue having these kids improve. I know, you know, again, coming out of the uncertainty of COVID, you know, being in, being out, you know, half, you know, everything that everybody had to go through, you know, our students are really moving to some type of, like you said, normalcy. And, you know, if we can continue to, you know, get those positive assemblies, I think that would be a great thing for the students. Again, just like with the athletics tonight, you know, having them come in here to be recognized, I think that's a big step. One thing I do want to bring up is good luck to the play. It starts, I think, Thursday and runs through Saturday?
Well, so actually,
kind of starts Tuesday.
Tuesday?
I get to see it Tuesday.
My superintendent's report for tonight was just that, and simply it is three sentences. This Thursday through Saturday, our drama program will present Disney's Newsies. It's in the newly named, and you guys will get to see the sign while you're up there, the Mark Fraser Memorial Auditorium. Performances are this Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We are 7 o'clock on Thursday, 7 o'clock on Friday, 3 and 8 on Saturday. Ticket information's on our website. No pun intended, but it's under the news section. Break a leg. And yeah, but so we kill a few birds there.
Mr. Dahmer, go ahead and continue, please.
I know we've talked a lot about athletics tonight, but again, our students who participate in the drama program, you know, they put a lot of time and effort, just like our athletes do. And, you know, I've been to the last couple plays, and, you know, they do a phenomenal job. And, you know, Mr. Fraser left a very good legacy with the people that he had transitioned into taking over, you know, last couple years for him. So other than that, just, you know, everybody just continue to keep moving forward, and let's get through this last 9 weeks.
Ms. Isaac?
So I feel like I'm going to be repeating myself a little bit, so I apologize in advance. I know I said this last board meeting, but I wanted to somewhat reiterate it. The Tutor Me went live. I saw that on the website. And whoever put that out there, very clever, it made me click on it. Before I could get anywhere else. So great marketing.
It was very intentional.
Yes, so
very intentional.
And I liked it. Students are able to log in through Clever. So I encourage the students who may be struggling in any subject. I kind of went out there and played just a little bit to see what it was like. It's very, very useful. As far as the band, I do have a few updates from Jennifer, and I apologize if I'm messing up anybody's names. The symphonic band performed, it says yesterday, I want to say this may have been a few days ago, at the OMEA District 15 large group that took place at the Taze Valley High School. They presented three pieces of music and were judged on sight reading as well. The overall rating they received was a 2, which was an excellent. And the breakdown was a rating of a 1 superior for the sight reading portion, and then 2 excellent for the performance. So it sounds like they did a really good job. I also was going to mention the drama. It starts on Thursday. And there was a really good article, if anybody hasn't seen it, I encourage you to go look at it. The Columbus Messenger put out an article on just the entire drama team, really. It was really good. It was released on March 8th. So if you haven't read it, go out and take a look at it. It was really good. There are 2 offerings for kids camp, one through Eastland and Fairfield Career Center, June 6th and 7th. So for small children, if you need babysitting or something fun for them to do, they're offering that this summer. And then the City of Obetz is also offering enrollment, and that is out there now. And I do know that those quickly, especially through the city of Obed. So for parents that just need to keep their kids busy during the summer, I would check into that now. Again, congratulations to Sienna. I won't re-mention the whole Fleet Feet thing. We all know that's great. I think that's all I have.
Okay, so. Thank you. You got anything else?
We're done.
Okay,
Sarah.
I didn't want you to interrupt me. I wasn't here last meeting. I want to thank Mr. Dahmer for taking control. That's why I nominated and supported him for vice president. Done a fine job, and I want to thank the. That's one of the best meetings I really, really enjoy attending because I get gifts, or everybody gets gifts. And that's, I got all mine, you know, together. So if somebody would say thank you to the people that was responsible for that, I'd appreciate it. We're going to very shortly vote on accepting this year's calendar. And one of the things that I brought up, I heard Mary talk about it, and the more I thought about it, I thought, well, why not start here? And that's Veterans Day. I don't know how many veterans we have. Do we have any combat veterans at all? Well, we're losing the greatest generation that we ever had. They're dying off. That was my parents, some of your grandparents, some of your parents. I'm trying to put this in words. You know, some of us baby boomers, we lived through some of the horrors that our fathers did. No fault of their own. We waited to build a monument to them in Washington, D.C., when we were losing so many of them that they never really got to enjoy their recognition. The Vietnam vets, guys my age, you know, some of them came home and they brought Nam home with them. Some of our children who have served in the last two wars, they brought their horrors home. And being a son of a combat vet who really left some of himself in the South Pacific, and not understanding at the time, that man would never, ever talk about World War II. In fact, you wouldn't even know that he was in World War II. You would never know that he was in the Navy Guards. But if you go to St. Joe's Cemetery and you look him up, on his gravestone it's engraved United States Navy WW2. So it had to mean something to him. And the last thing that he did before he passed was he tried to go to D.C. to see that monument. And he made it as far as Wheeling, West Virginia. And then they had to bring him back. 1% of our population today serves in the military voluntarily. Now, some of us was real lucky back in the 60s. You know, they started a lottery. And to this day, I still carry the guilt that my number was 362. You guys don't know what that means, but that means that they'd be on 270 before I'd ever get drafted. I think that for the few that protects us, the few that sacrifices for us. And another thing that why we should do it in this district, I don't know for a fact, but I don't think any other school, as small as we are, sacrificed two of our finest. Think about that. You know, it took me 3 years before I could face one woman, because our son came home and hers didn't. If there's any reason why this district should do it, it's because of them. Take a day off for Veterans Day, and we might look at Veterans Day a little bit different. So next year, this isn't because we're trying to get some space in there for a 3-day weekend. It's It's to recognize the men and women who have sacrificed. Because the people that's going in the military, the military back in the 60s and the 70s, the ones that was drafted, the ones that wasn't drafted got to go into an apprenticeship or college and started their life earlier than the ones that went to NOM. So next year you're going to see a push for Veterans Day, I think we, and we're a Purple Heart district. My God, why ain't we doing it? So, I don't normally talk this much, but it's something that we ought to be very proud of. And next year, when we do it, we're going to let all the other districts know that we did it. And why in the hell ain't they doing it? So, that's my board report. Need a motion to accept the board's report.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? None. Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Ebert?
Yes. Treasury's report.
Yes, I had a couple things. number one is we finally got a new bus in, and why I say that is because everybody here. We got approval back in April. We put the PO in July 1st, and we just got it 2 weeks ago. So that's how bad
nice
things are.
One.
But it's a nice one, too.
So very nice bus.
According to Tammy, the pedals move, so if you're sure the pedals move up, it's something. So
big and yellow.
It's big, awesome. Right, big, bright yellow. The other thing, also, the roof here, if you saw the workers on the roof, that's completely done now. I think we just have one small part to go in the preschool. But again, right now it's holding up okay. But other than that, this whole roof's been done. And of course, this is a flat roof, so it's had its issues. through the years. The other thing on the budget real quick, yeah, we got our first simulations. They were horrible. They're totally being redone right now because they came out that bad. Just to give them one, we were going to get like a 0.8% increase 1 year, then a negative next year. So I was hoping for three and a half. So anyways, it wasn't good. Only changes the same boat. Only changes going to get like 3% 1 year, then negative 1.5. So I think they weren't accurate. That's why I really didn't tell you guys, because it's just the beginning process and those were totally off key. And one thing that bugs treasurers that we're fighting is they're still using FY18 teacher salary and benefits for their numbers. So FY18, we're talking about 24, 25 budgets. It's almost 6 to 7 years delayed. So if they don't figure out that, we're not going to get a whole lot of money. The other issue you'll hear about is the SROs. And I was on a conference with a bunch of treasurers and the people presenting this. And I asked specifically, hey, can we use the SROs for behavioral units or this or that? And I was a flat no. It's going, police officers, SROs only. Again, you know, we're supposed to get $259,000 a year, but we don't, something we don't need. We need something we can use, I guess, but we have other needs. But anyways, that was a flat no. So, and I know Mark met with our rep and mm-hmm. shared all these concerns. So we're doing our part with our rep sharing concerns about that. So, but that's why I didn't really share the budget, because it was totally, there's no way that one's going to pass. The next budget simulation we're supposed to get is not till the end of April, and that's from the House. But if there's any news, I'll let you guys know.
So I have one question, and I printed this, so I apologize if I'm out of mm-hmm. section. For the supplement positions that was within here, what is the eSports advisor?
I think you're in a different section.
Am I different section? Okay,
yeah.
Well, just chime in when I say, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's all I have.
Okay, need a motion for the financial programs. We have 8 items.
So moved.
Second.
Any comments?
Just real quick in 7.7, thank you to everybody who donated to the drama program. So.
Yeah.
And then one quick question for you, Adam. When do they have to have the budget numbers finalized?
June 30.
Okay.
And they'll take until June 30. Every 2 years they do it.
A couple of weird laws.
And yes, weird laws, right. So, June 30.
Okay, any other questions? No comments? Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
And Mr. Roper?
Yes.
You've already heard it.
Okay.
Well done.
Wow.
Yes, sir. We can move right to section 9. Yes, sir.
Superintendent's report is the shortest that we've ever seen here. Okay, educational programs. Need a motion? 9 items?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments?
I have one comment. And again, it's under, for the school calendar, I'm voting no. I'm going to vote yes on every other section, but no to 9.2 on the calendar.
Say that again.
I am voting no for the district calendar for that, just that section.
Okay, so you want to pull, which section is it?
It's 9.2.
You
want
to pull 9.2 and make it its own section.
Okay. Do we have a motion to pull 9.2 out for special vote?
So move.
We have a second?
Sure, second.
Okay. Any comments?
My comment is one, I don't see why we can't go ahead and incorporate Veterans Day now. I think it's important enough to make that change. I think it was vocalized to me that the concern was pushing out the school calendar by 1 day and the teachers having to come back. I'm not sure that is reason enough to not add that day. So that's my comment regarding that.
Okay. Mark, you want to comment on that?
I think she covered it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's accurate.
So are you saying that we can work that Veterans Day in this year?
I propose it as is. We talked about doing that for next year, but the conversation we did have was around, oh, I don't want to get on my soapbox with this. The calendar is, it's incredibly complex. There's contractual items that have to be met. There's state statute items that have to be met. There's, you know, required days off. There's two different contracts. Some are classified contract requires certain days off that our certified contract doesn't. Ultimately, just to cut through this, we put this out. We did a first reading on it, and then it came back, you know, after the first reading, you know, can we consider making this change? And, you know, you and I had discussed that over the phone and determined that we would consider that for the following year, that we would leave this on as is and make that change for the following year. The headache we did run into is this would require us to either start a day early, which wasn't appetizing to most, or to finish a day late. Finishing a day late would create a situation where our teaching staff, instead of ending their year on a Friday, would then have to come back and end their year on a Monday. So it was decided, let's vote on the calendar as is, as opposed to presenting a new calendar. Let's put it out there as is, and we would discuss it for the following year.
Okay. I say, Mary, we had lengthy conversations about this, and we reached a...
I hear you. My vote's just no.
Okay. Alrighty. So, all those in favor of voting for 9.2, roll call.
Okay, so this is voting
just
to accept the calendar the way it is.
All right, yep. Ms. Isaac?
No.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
And Mr. Edward?
I would decline. You got enough votes. All right.
Can I have a point of information?
Pardon me?
Can I have a point of, just a question, point
yes.
of information? Did we consider just making it a day off and not adjusting the calendar for this year? Is that something that we could consider?
Did we have enough hours built in?
Right. Because, I mean, we normally don't even have, you know, snow days. If we reach a point that we hit too many snow days or something, then we make them up. But, I mean, for next year.
With this particular day, it really comes down to the 185-day work schedule of the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
That's ultimately what this one's material to.
So if it would have to be like a paid holiday for them, basically.
Yes.
So how would that work?
That's a really good question.
Do I make a motion? Do you look into it? Do I?
I suppose you're the Board of Education. If you decided to tell the teachers to work 184 days as opposed to 185, yes.
And then next year in the future calendars, we would just build it into, as you said, we would look at this.
Or leave it that way. That would be up to you as a board.
Or to negotiate moving forward how that would look or something.
Sure.
Okay. So is that something that we could look at for, would that be something I would ask to be considered at our next board meeting?
I would say we need to vote on a calendar tonight.
So vote on this and then we can put on the,
I guess my thing is if you want to do that, do it now. Like, we need to get the calendar out to the community. So if we want to consider a 184 work day, you know, for our teachers and basically taking our students would give up a day. We have hours to use. I think the other thing we'd have to look at too is, if memory serves, I think it falls this year on a
Saturday.
Falls on a Saturday.
It's on Saturday.
Yes, so we would consider it being either a Friday or a Monday.
Yeah.
Take your pick.
It'd be Friday, like the banks, right? Like you do what the bank does, right? Like
the
holidays.
I don't know what.
I was going to say federal holiday would be
on the
Friday.
The Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, the impediment currently is not so much the, I mean, look, it's an instructional day that we lose, like we lose an instructional day, but the real impediment other than that is just with our teachers. This would impact actually beyond the teachers. This would be the classified unions as well. It would be anybody who's a 185.
They
ultimately, listen, if we're going to do it, it is just simply we're reducing every employee one day.
That's not what I'm proposing, though. I'm not proposing that we can't just unilaterally like amend their contract to say that they're working 184 days. I'm saying, could we give, it's like, almost like a calamity day. Like, they are still working 185 days, but you don't report this day, we're calling it a holiday. Like Columbus did with their little Thanksgiving Wellness Week on a spur of the moment thing the one year, and now they just build it into their calendar moving forward.
Contractor wise, I think it's a holiday. You'd have to fit another work day in there somewhere else for the teachers and everybody else.
I
don't know.
You know what I mean?
Not if we make it like a paid holiday.
I don't know that I can call it a calamity day, because there's actually, you know,
right,
I mean,
no, but I'm just
statute.
Saying to that effect. Like, you're still getting a 185 day contract. Or even, like, I mean, I, as a teacher, I can say probably 99% of them would still do some work from home that day. I mean, what, I'm not saying require that. I'm just saying they will still be working anyway. So 1 year of a paid holiday, I think it meets the need that these two are expressing. And if none of us have a major concern about losing one instructional day when we already still start earlier than most districts, I mean, I'm personally fine with that.
I have one comment, maybe two or three. When Mary brought this first up, and I took it to Mark, we had hourly, lengthy discussions about this. And sometimes in life, I found out that you have to compromise sometimes. Now, we never had veteran days off before, but I was assured that it was going to happen in this next calendar. Not this one we're voting on, but for the next one. And I'm good with that, just personally. You know, felt that we got the best deal that we could get.
And to be clear, guys, it's
and he's going to go on a soapbox that it's going to really, I mean, he's got 25 reasons why that can't happen, and that's 25 pretty damn good reasons, guys. That was voted on.
We approved it.
Approved it. And so now we're going to move on to the rest of the nine. Do we have a motion to accept?
So moved.
Need
a second, but I would still like to know what the esports advisor position is.
Sure. I won't put Matt on the spot. Basically, esports is a program we began a couple of years ago, and it's exactly like it sounds. It's kids competing in video games. It's soon to become a state-sponsored sport, and we've got a lot of participation in it. It's a really good program. So, reached out to our union. Couple of things contained in that one there. Reached out to the union. We realized that it was time probably to compensate those advisors. I think it's two people that are going to split a contract there. But in addition to that, you're about to vote on cheerleading. Matt and I took a really long, hard look at this. This was a lot of math. But basically just reached out to other schools in our area for cheerleading. You heard our cheerleading advisors speak earlier about the length of season and stuff that they endure. We realized that many districts compensate this differently and better than we do. The majority of people that did have competition had some sort of structure built in to pay them for that. So Again, reached out to our teachers union. Actually worked a good bit with our cheerleading advisors on this as well to come up with something that was we felt fair and just commensurate with what they do. You know, something that's a little bit more consistent. So we just agreed on an MOU to basically create new stipends for that and also for competition cheer.
Okay, any other comments? Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
Mr. Ebert?
Yes. Okay. Approved personnel certified. Need a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
And Mr. Ebert?
Yes. Going to number 11, approved personnel classified. Got three items. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any comments? Roll call.
Mrs. Isaac?
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer?
Yes.
Mr. Schutte?
Yes.
Mrs. Clark?
Yes.
And Mr. Ebert?
Yes. No table items. Executive session. Any reason to be going in? Alrighty. That means we ain't coming out of it. That means we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Any comments? I want to thank everybody that did stay. There's some things going on around here that the community needs to hear firsthand. We've actually had people talk about a rubber stamp board. As you can see, we don't have a rubber stamp board, but we discuss things and we work well together. As far as the sports, I mean to tell you, it used to be painful. Y'all know that participated in it. The sports were painful to watch because we weren't very competitive. And what you're doing with the bowlers and the golfers and such, really appreciate it. Communication is the most important thing, and that's the last word of this meeting. Thank you.
I need to roll call real quick. Hold on.
Roll call real quick.
Yeah, the last one.
Sorry, I'm sorry. This is Isaac.
Yes.
Mr. Dahmer.
Yes.
Mr. Schutte.
Yeah.
Mrs. Clark.
Yes.
Mr. Ebert.
I still get to say the last thing.
I do.
Okay. 7:20 adjourn.
7:20.